So last week we stood in one of the most powerful moments in the ministry of Jesus. A man who was, as Luke records, full of leprosy, right? Not in the beginning stages, but full on leprosy, approaches Jesus. He is isolated. He is rejected. He is defined by his shame. As I mentioned last week, he's not just unwell, but he is unwelcome. He is unwelcome in his home. He is unwelcome in his temple. He is unwelcome in his community. And he hears Jesus is coming to town. And he knows that Jesus is able to change the trajectory of his life. And he falls on his face before Jesus and he asks, what is the most honest questions that a broken heart can ask? Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. Such a powerful statement. And Jesus answers him with three words. Three words that change everything. Three words that perhaps he was not expecting to hear. Jesus responds with, I am willing. He doesn't hesitate. Jesus doesn't step back like everybody else did, like, whoa, that dude's got leprosy. But no, Jesus steps forward. And Jesus does the unthinkable. He touches this person with leprosy and restores him to complete health. He moves towards him. As I mentioned last week, this is the heart of Christ. A Savior who doesn't step back from brokenness, but instead he moves toward those who are broken, those who are disconnected, those who are not only unwell, but unwelcome. Jesus moves toward them. And the leper from our text last week in Luke 5, he wasn't questioning Jesus' ability. He knew Jesus could. He was questioning Jesus' willingness. It gives us great insight into the heart of this leper. Lord, if you're willing, perhaps nobody else would be willing, but he puts this question out there. Jesus, if you're willing, and Jesus puts the question to rest with a touch. And he says, I'm willing. But now Luke does something. He records something that is uncomfortable as we kind of go forward. Because as we continue in the text, I did something last week. We covered our text, and I jumped into where we're going to go in this next text until this week. Actually, got about three quarters of the way through the sermon, and the Holy Spirit brought me back to the text. And there was two verses I didn't spend much time on at all. That might not be for anybody else in this room, but it's for me. And the Holy Spirit let me know that the very desire to move on to the next thing was an indictment that I was guilty of the very thing that this text pointed out. And so this morning I invite you into the living room of my life, and I'm going to preach to a mirror this morning, and perhaps you might find yourself at one time or another in that same place, because Luke records something that's very uncomfortable. He does something and he highlights something that is very un-Jesus-like. If we consider what Jesus did, it might stop us dead in our tracks. Because the same Jesus who was willing to heal the leper now isn't willing. And he walks away. Let's take a look at the text. Let's go back to the text that we were at last week, a part two, if you will. Last week we looked at Jesus was willing, this Sunday when Jesus was unwilling. Look with me at Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He had no doubt. He knew Jesus, if Jesus was willing, he can do it. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but instead, go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. And then Luke records, but now even more, the report about him went abroad. I mean, if Jesus' popularity wasn't already at an all-time high, now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Did you see what just happened here? Word spreads really, really fast. You can understand the logic of the people. If he's willing to touch and heal a leper, certainly he'll touch and heal me as well. I mean, if he'll touch a leper, he'd be willing to help anybody. Luke says that the word of what Jesus did, it went viral. Everyone had heard about what Jesus had done. And the crowds are gathering by the droves to be next in line to be touched and healed by Jesus, just like the leper was. If you'll allow yourself this morning, kind of place yourself as an observer in the crowd that day. People are lining up. They are waiting. They are hoping. They are seeing miracles take place. And they're thinking, maybe today is my day. You can sense the nervous excitement as they begin to draw closer to Jesus, thinking, is this really happening? Maybe today he'll heal me. Maybe today the trajectory of my entire life will change. I'm sure there were some there that had the same desperation as that leper who longed to be made whole. And people are getting healed left and right, everywhere you look. And here you are, you're online. Only 10 more people in front of you before you get to Jesus. Before you come face to face with the healer. And as time goes on now, there's only 5. And you're watching the miracles taking place. You're seeing people run who were crippled before. You're hearing the stories. And you're thinking, today it's going to happen. And there's only 3 more people in front of you. And you're thinking, this is it. This is my moment. This is what I've been longing for. And then finally, the person who's directly in front of you gets healed by the touch of Jesus. And now as you step up, Jesus stops and walks away. That doesn't sound like the Jesus that we want to know about. Notice how Luke records it. He says, and great crowds gather to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. The one who was willing to heal the leper is now unwilling to stay any longer. He withdraws to a desolate place, an alone place to go and pray. Jesus walks away. That means that someone didn't get healed that day. Jesus walked away. That means that somebody walked away disappointed. Somebody walked away confused. Someone walked away wondering, why was he unwilling to heal me today? We need to embrace the tension of this moment. In my mind, in my version of Jesus, I just want to kind of move on from that because that doesn't sound very nice. He's willing one moment, and the next he is walking. Why would he do that? How does he reconcile that? Surely people are going to walk away disappointed. But here's the overarching point of where I want to go today. What we're seeing here is not a contradiction. It's a revelation. Because what Jesus shows us is more important than the healings that were taking place that day. And here's the big idea. Jesus stepped away from people in need to step closer and connected to his Father. And in doing so, he shows us that sometimes faithfulness to God will require disappointing people. And we don't like to disappoint people, right? We want to be able to meet the expectations. And what feels like a lack of willingness on the part of Jesus is actually a deeper form of faithfulness. Why? Because Jesus is not being pulled by the crowd. Instead, he's being led by his Father. And more importantly, Jesus is setting an example for all of us. All of us that are capable and perhaps even guilty at times of sacrificing the best on the altar of the good. Now, to really appreciate what's going on here, it's important to put the spotlight on the human nature of Jesus, right? I mean, the reality that we learn clearly in the scripture, Jesus had a dual nature, right? He was not part man and part God, but Jesus was truly God and truly man. He had two complete natures. He possessed the fullness of both natures, but he chose not to exercise his nature as God while on the earth so that he could be our perfect Adam, right? He is our representative. He did that so he could live a sinless life as the perfect man. And so he did not exercise his deity, but instead he fully embraced his humanity and all the limitations thereof so that he could live a perfect life and therefore also be our perfect sacrifice. Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, says this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, speaking of Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And so what Paul is saying here is that Christ, while he was fully God, he was truly God, truly man, he emptied himself, not in the sense that he emptied his deity, but he chose not to act out in his deity. And so that means that everything that Jesus did, and there's so much that we see that Jesus did all throughout the Gospels, everything that Jesus did that was supernatural, right? Anything that is above natural law would be supernatural, right? So everything that Jesus did that was above natural law was done through the power of the Holy Spirit and in perfect obedience to his Father. It wasn't that Jesus couldn't because he was fully God. But he chose not to exercise his rights, his attributes, his power as God. And he operated and under the power of the Holy Spirit and in obedience to the Father. He embraced his full humanity so that he could identify with us. So I say all that to say this. Jesus knew what it meant to be tired. Jesus knew what it was to be discouraged. Jesus knew what it was to feel the limitations of humanity. Why? Because he willingly chose to embrace them. And knowing fully well the frailty of humanity, he remained in constant communion with the Father, which is what empowered his ministry. And so it's not that Jesus was saying no to the crowd, but that Jesus was saying yes to the Father. Because every time we say yes to one thing, we're saying no to something else. The problem is we try and say yes to everything, and little do we know that something and someone is going to get a no. It's usually your family or your God, if we are really honest. But Jesus really wasn't saying no to the crowd as much as he was saying yes to the Father. The first point that I want to highlight to you this morning is that Jesus chose communion over constant availability. He chose communion with his Father over constant availability to everybody else. He withdrew to pray. Not once, not randomly. Notice the language that Luke uses here. He says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would suggest this is a pattern of Jesus' ministry. This is what he did. Why? Because he knew that his power didn't come from the crowd. It came from being in communion with his Father. And if that connection is lost, everything is lost. From the crowd's perspective, they're standing there thinking, why did he leave? I was next. Doesn't he care? What did I do? What about me? What they didn't realize is this, that they didn't just need healing physically. That was the least of their problems. They needed a Savior who was aligned with his Father. Because a disconnected, constantly available to everybody but his Father kind of Jesus helps nobody. And you know what? The same is true for you and me. A Christian that is constantly available to everybody but his Father is no good to anybody. We live in a world that expects constant availability and accessibility. You get them, and so do I. You get these texts in the middle of the night, during the day, during the morning, all day long. And the expectation is, as soon as you see it, you're going to respond to it. How many times you hear the word, well, don't leave me on read, right? How offensive that is. And the expectation is, because I am beckoning you, you will show up. That's the expectation. Calls are coming from every direction. Notifications are dinging and binging and hitting us from every digital device that we have. Demands of everything and everyone. And if you're not careful, you can be so available to people that you become unavailable to God. And so sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is put the phone down. Turn the device off. Be unavailable to everybody so you can be available to your Father. If you're always available to people, you will eventually be unavailable to God. Jesus chose communion with his Father over the expectations of others. Secondly, we see in this text, we see purpose over urgency. Jesus responds and lives in the frame of purpose over urgency. I mean, the crowds are growing. The needs are real. This wasn't fake urgency. There was real people who had real problems, who were really sick, who really needed to be healed. This was a legitimate need. But Jesus refused to let urgency dictate his life. He lived by his Father's direction and not by the crowd's pressure. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel the push and the pressure and the expectation of others. And the appearance is that the godly ones out there will sacrifice themselves for everybody else. and miss their time with the Father. Now listen, we need to be available for one another. We need to extend ourselves. We need to put others first. I get that, but the reality of it is not in front of God. And see, Jesus lived by the Father's direction, not by the crowd's pressure. And so that means something very powerful. You ready for this? Not every need is your assignment. Now, some of you need to really hear that again and let that go down deep. Because some of you have the gift of service. You're wired in such a way that you're looking to see, how can I meet needs? How can I serve? How can I help? And that's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a tremendous thing. But if you're not careful, it could distract you from what God has called you to do. Not every need is your assignment. Not every problem is yours to fix. Not every riddle is yours to solve. Because if you live like it is, you'll spend your entire life responding to the urgent needs of others and miss the ultimate purpose that God has wired you for. And Jesus sets a model in place for us to learn from. Now, for the people that were left waiting that day, I'm sure there was frustration. I'm sure there was confusion. I'm sure there was hurt feelings. Why wouldn't he just stay and help? And you know what? This is left there in this text for us to kind of hold in tension. We're not meant to make excuses for Jesus here. What we learn when Jesus doesn't respond to their urgent time frame, we come to learn that God is not rushed. His timing is intentional. We see that Jesus is led by the Father. He's not reactive to the requests and urgencies of others. Some of you are living under constant urgency. Everything feeling like it has to happen now, or even better, yesterday. That's me, by the way. Just honest confession. For those who know me, you know. I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. Nothing could happen quick enough. That's the reality. That's not always the best thing. God has a timeline and a time frame and a process that our urgency needs to bow to. Everything feels like it can't wait sometimes. Oh, they need to be there. Yeah, but you need to be here with God. And maybe you discovered, like I have, that not everything that comes across as urgent to everybody else is really as urgent as is forecasted, right? You change all your plans to meet with this urgent situation. You think, that's what this is about? You had a problem with the new carpet? You didn't like the color of the paint? You know? Sometimes some urgencies are nothing more than distractions. And I just, I'm not going to completely throw myself under the bus here. That's one of the things I do well. When I know I'm doing what God wants me to do, my wife will tell you, it's like nothing gets in my way. If it's time to get in the Word and get ready for my sermon, it's like the world can fall apart all around me. The door is locked. The voices are shut out. It's like it's just me, God, and the Word. So there's some areas, right? But then there's other times. See, I'll do that for you. Now I'm getting real honest. But I won't do it because I need to get along with God. I won't do it because I'm empty. And I got a feeling that maybe some of you are just like me. You'll pour it out for everybody else, genuinely, lovingly, with the best intentions in the world. But you won't take the time for yourself. And what we see in Jesus is a model of prioritizing time with our Father. purpose over urgency. Next thing we see here is faithfulness over limitless expectations. That's what they have for you, by the way. Limitless expectations. Because every time you meet the expectation, what happens? The expectation increases, right? Here's the hard truth that we're trying to figure out this morning. Is the hard reality that we're trying to embrace is that Jesus didn't meet every need in the moment. And I don't know about you, but that kind of wrecks our perception of Jesus sometimes. Because he could have. I mean, the reality of it is, it's Jesus, right? So he could have been like, all right, I'm going to go spend time with the Father. So you other 4,000 that are waiting, you're healed. Boom, done. Now I'm moving on. He could have done that. I mean, that's how he fed the thousands, right? He could have done. Could have left them hungry. He didn't. He could have rewrote the narrative. Why is this in here? So we can learn from the master how to prioritize time with our Father. You see, faithfulness is not about doing everything. It's about doing what God is giving you to do. And how do you know what God is giving you to do? You spend time with God. And he puts in your heart the things that you ought to prioritize in your lives. For the people waiting, it created disappointment. I mean, there are some people who went home as sick as when they got there. Sick and now disappointed and frustrated. But what it taught them was that the Son of Man was not controlled by the expectations of others, but he was controlled by perfect obedience and in relationship with his Father. You are not called to meet every need. You can't do it. You're not called to say yes to everything. There's not enough time in your day to do it. You're not called to carry what God never gave you. You're not called to meet every need. You're called to be faithful. And faithfulness to God, first and foremost, is modeled by Jesus, even at the expense of those who wanted him to be faithful to them by healing them that day. What they didn't realize at that moment is that Jesus' faithfulness to his Father was indeed faithfulness to them. Why? Because he was there on mission. Jesus' ultimate purpose in coming wasn't to provide temporary healing. Newsflash, for everyone who Jesus healed, and there were many people, they all died of something afterwards. It was a temporary healing. And Jesus didn't come to do a temporary work. He came to do an eternal redemption. And so his time with Father might pull them away from the temporary expectations of the people, but he secured for them an eternal redemption. Which brings us to our fourth point, the mission over the moment. The mission over the moment. I mean, to be quite honest, if Jesus stayed, he could have healed a lot more people that day. But he didn't come just to heal bodies. He came to forgive sin. He came to go to a cross. He came to accomplish something not temporary, but eternal. He came to redeem man back to God. And you see, what's amazing about that part of what we learn from that is that Jesus prioritized the eternal, and so should we. So much time is spent on things on this earth, in this world, to secure our peace, our joy, our happiness, right here, right now, and we're not going to take it with us, as Pastor Tom said. What a tremendous blessing and opportunity we have to send forward in advance by our faithfulness to him, by our love for him, by our generosity to him, to be able to put treasures in heaven waiting for us. You see, we are eternal. We were created with eternity stamped in our hearts. There's going to be a day where we're going to be alive a million plus years from today. And all of these things that are consuming our time, not even be remembered. But that which is done for Christ will last. And so Christ came not to secure a temporary blessing, but an eternal, eternal redemption. And so to them, they're thinking, why wouldn't he just help me now? Why wouldn't he just heal me like he healed the leper and everybody else who was right before me? But what Jesus prioritized and said was alignment with the Father. And he stayed on mission. Mission over the moment. He didn't just offer temporary relief. He secured eternal redemption. That's why he came. And you know, what we need to learn from that is that if we're going to learn from his example, that means we need to say no to some things and some people so we can say yes to God. You know, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is not the easiest thing in the moment. It's easier just to say yes to everybody and no to God because, well, God understands. And what we don't realize is we're weakening ourselves and we're cutting off our supply line so that we'll never be able to be fully what we could be to those around us. But the most loving things we can do for people is usually not the easiest thing in the moment. For those of you who are parents, you know that. It'd be easy just to let your kids do what they want to do. It takes work to discipline our kids. It takes work to build character into our kids. It takes work to teach them how to be a good, moral, godly young men and godly young women, that we disciple them and we teach them. It takes work because sometimes they don't want to hear it. It's easier just to be liked. And for the parent who's so focused on being liked, let me just give you a heads up. Your child will grow up and resent you. If you're more focused on them liking you than you discipling them, they're going to get to a day where they're going to look back and say, man, why didn't you teach me the hard things of life? Sometimes the most loving things we can do are not the easiest. This goes true for all relationships, really. I mean, if you want to have an authentic, transparent relationship with somebody, right? That means as you're doing life together, there's going to be moments where you're going to butt heads. And you see, the easy thing to do would just be disappear. I don't like this person anymore. I'm not going to talk to this any person. They hurt me. They wounded me. I'm out of here. It doesn't do anything. That's the easy thing. The hard thing is coming together, extending forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, having the hard conversations, learning the whys behind what's happened so that you can walk together in humility and honesty and transparency. It's not the easiest way. But it is the most rewarding way, the most blessed way. Faith is choosing growth over comfort every single time. And you see, if Jesus only met immediate needs, he would have missed his eternal mission because the needs were everywhere. And the more he met them, the more they came. But he was committed to the mission over the moment. And that doesn't only reveal something about the heart of Jesus, but it also does something about revealing the hearts of others, which is our next point, revealing the heart. You see, when Jesus stepped away, it revealed something. It revealed who really wanted Jesus and who really wanted things from Jesus. Some of those left waiting were left confused. I'm sure they left frustrated. I'm sure some of them probably walked away and thought, never again will I come and put myself in the presence of Jesus. But what that exposed was is a deeper question. Do I want Jesus? Or do I just want what Jesus can do for me? See, that's where faith gets real. Do you follow him in the hard times of life? When the going gets tough? When it doesn't seem like he's answering your prayers? Do you get frustrated and throw in the towel? Or do you dig in harder? when he doesn't do things on the timeline that you put out there, do you give up and get frustrated? Or do you push in closer and harder? One of the things I've learned over the years is that God will at times make me, allow me to feel like I'm the one waiting, and then he left. Not so that I would sit and sulk, but so that I would chase after him. So I would learn to go after him. So that I would learn to pursue Jesus in a way that goes beyond how I feel at the moment, how comfortable I am at the moment, that I pursue Jesus just for more of Jesus. And see, that's what he does in our lives. There's times where God will allow himself to feel distant. He didn't go anywhere. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, Jesus said. But there are times where he will feel like, where'd he go? Anybody ever feel that way? Yes. Like, where are you? And it's in those moments that God, because of his love for you and his commitment to completing the work that he's begun in your life, he is training you, he's teaching you, he's building character in you so that you would pursue him. God loves when we pursue him. And so distance doesn't destroy real faith, it reveals it. And it's in those moments that God will allow us to feel like he's not there so we would learn how to pursue him. Which brings us to our last point. We can't miss this because it truly does bring, it presents the big picture of the why. Why did Jesus walk away? Why didn't he just heal everybody and then do what he needed to do? Jesus teaches us, number six, a model for how to live. That's what he's doing here. He's giving us a model for how to live. The disciples were all watching this. I mean, they're probably thinking like, well, there he goes again. The next person was in line. Maybe somebody's asking the disciples, do you think I'll see him today? I can't guarantee it. He's gonna stop at some point, go spend time with Father, you know? See, Jesus wasn't just ministering in his 3 years here. He was modeling for us. He was showing them and us, you cannot live at a pace that disconnects you from God. You can go for a little while, but it's gonna catch up. He's setting the stage for them by way of modeling for them a pattern, a rhythm of life, a life that is rooted in abiding, not burnout. He's modeling for them and for us a life that prioritizes time with Father. Now, let me just preach to the choir this morning because I know this doesn't apply to anybody other than me speaking to the mirror, but some of you are exhausted. Not because you're doing bad things, but because you're doing too many things without staying connected to God. I've been in the church a long time, and so have many of you, and I've seen people just with such tenacity and such commitment and so many hours pour in and serve here and meet that need there and do this, and you look and go, wow, this is the rock star of the church. They came in, they're wonderful, but they weren't having that time alone with God, and at some point it catches up with them, and when the final moment happens where they can't take anymore, they're gone. If you're serving in the church and you're so stretched thin that you don't have time with God, can you do yourself a favor? Take this as permission from your pastor. It's time to take a break. We want you more than what you do. And there's seasons where it's important and right to take a break, to make sure we're aligned with the heart of God. God will always raise up somebody to do the work that needs to get done. Your life, your ministry, your to-do list, it needs to be an overflow of what's going on in your time alone with God. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes, you can. You can do something. I see it all the time. People actively doing many, many things while not abiding in Jesus. And so it's not that Jesus is saying you can't do anything. He's saying, without me, you can't do what God wants you to do. That's what he's saying there. You can't do what you're wired to do, what I've created you to do, what you were designed to do. That comes from abiding in the vine. If you're not abiding in the vine, you'll fill that space of time with everything and anyone who's willing to fill it. You cannot live a spiritually strong life at an unsustainable pace. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how big your cape is. It's going to catch up. You cannot live a spiritually strong life at an unsustainable pace. And so, picture yourself in that crowd. You've been waiting, you've been hoping, you've been believing. And it's your moment, and then Jesus walks away. And everything in you screams, well, what about me? But what you don't see yet is this. He didn't walk away because he doesn't care. We know he cares. Last week, he said, I am willing to the leper. And that's still true. But this week, we learned something just as important. That his willingness is not defined by meeting every demand and every expectation that's on your timeline. His willingness is defined by his faithfulness to the Father. And here's where this meets your life and my life. Sometimes following Jesus will mean disappointing people. Sometimes you just can't take the call. Sometimes you just can't meet. Sometimes you have to say, no. You can't meet every expectation. Not because you don't care, but because you're choosing to stay connected to your source. And you see, when you're connected to your source, then all of the ones that God wants you to reach out to and meet those needs, he'll give you what you need to do it. Because if Jesus had to step away from good things to stay aligned from his Father, who are we to think we don't need to do that? How much more should we need that time alone with God? Maybe the most spiritual thing we can say at times is, not right now. Well, Pastor, didn't you just get up here a couple minutes ago and ask everybody to get involved in things at the church? Yes. And say, here, let's hold these in proper tension. See, some of you are doing too much, and some of you are doing too little. And so the people who are doing too little need to give some help to the people who are doing too much so that our family can stay healthy. But if you can't do that, while maintaining that time with God, then choose God every single time. So maybe before you rush into the next thing, before you pick up the phone, before you step back into all the demands that are waiting for you, what if you did what Jesus did? What if you just stepped away? Not because everything is done, but because everything isn't done. Not because people don't need you, but because they do. But you need him first. And we'll never be able to be for others what we first need to be ourselves with God. You don't need a mountain to run to, or carve out long hours in the course of your day. You don't need to create the perfect setting. You just need a moment. take a pause to come away to be with your Father. Think about who awaits you. Consider the audience that we can have. I wonder sometimes, do we really believe that we're connecting with God in those moments? Because I think if we really did, we'd probably be there a whole lot more. That's the homework this week. Find a place. Find something, somewhere, sometime to be alone with God. You say, well, you don't know my week. I'm just too busy. Then you're too busy. You're too busy. And let me just tell you this. He's not waiting for you with disappointment. You know, sometimes we get riddled with guilt. He's not frustrated that you've been so busy. It's not like he's standing over your shoulder like, yeah, it's about time that you showed up. No, he's inviting you to come. Because the same Jesus who said, I'm willing, is still willing. Willing to meet you. Willing to restore you. Willing to refill you. And so come away. No guilt. No shame, no pressure. Just step out of the noise. Step out of the pressures and the expectations of everybody else and just be with him. Because the strength that you need, the clarity that you're looking for, the peace that your heart is longing for, it's not going to be found in doing more. It's going to be found in being with him. That's what we were created for, to be in community with God. It's time with Father. Time with Father over friends. Time with Father over Facebook. Time with Father over fellowship. And in special seasons, even time with Father over food in times of fasting and being with him. And so I invite you to come, to go places perhaps you've never gone before. Maybe it's not that you weren't doing it before, but maybe God's just calling you to a higher calling, a higher walk, a new level of relationship. And that doesn't come just by serving others, it comes by being connected with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you for modeling for us what we are to prioritize. Lord, sometimes the distractions are real, the hurts are real, the needs are real, the people are real, everything seems to be screaming for our attention. Lord, help us to put in perspective and prioritize. Not that we not meet those needs, but we meet them out of an overflow of first being with you. Help us to be on mission more than in the moment. Help us to be faithful. Help us to pursue you with all of our hearts. Help us to take up your invitation. We invite us to come boldly to the throne of grace. If that's you this morning, if you just look and say, you know what? I'm not where I need to be with God. No guilt, no shame, just opportunity. It's a new day. Let it start today. Put something on your calendar. If you don't plan for it, time will never present itself. Find the time to be with Jesus. It might be a car ride. It might be just being alone somewhere. Whatever it is, find your time to connect with your Father. Lord, do this work. Pray. Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.